2 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, here's what the Bible says. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." Tonight I preach a sermon entitled, "Make the Valley Full of Ditches." Make the valley full of ditches. The story in 2 Kings chapter 3 is a very interesting story. And if you haven't heard it, you just need to listen to it tonight, because it just shows how God worked back then. And I'm going to make the application that he still works the same today. There was a nation by the name of Moab that was subject to Israel. Now, this was the time when the kingdom of the Jews was split into the kingdom of Judah, which had two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, and Israel, which had 10 tribes. And the two tribe nation, was the one that honored God, that followed after God for the most part. And that was the nation of Judah. The nation of Israel was the one that worshipped Baal, worshipped all sorts of false gods, and actually fell before Judah did in punishment from God. Moab was subject to Israel. They paid a yearly tax of 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams. Yearly tax. When Ahab died, he was the wicked king of Israel. He was married to Jezebel. He led the nation to worship Baal. And when he died, Moab rebelled against Israel. And he said, "We're not paying taxes anymore. We're not going to pay, you know, we're not going to give you the 100,000 lambs. We're not going to give you the 100,000 rams." I know there's some people feel that way today. You just soon not pay your taxes, but that's not part of my sermon. I just want you to know it's not a new thing. People back in the Bible days felt the same way. So three kings got together, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, the king of Edom, and they said, "We're going to go fight Moab. We're going to go make them pay this tribute that they used to pay." Now, the nation of Moab would have offered little resistance. They were a nation of animal keepers. I mean, they kept sheep and rams. They did not have a large army. And so they would have been little resistance to the combined forces of these three kings. The problem was that it was a 7-day journey from where these armies gathered, from these three kings, Judah, Israel, and Moab. It was a 7-day journey to get to Moab, and they ran into a problem. They couldn't find water. God had withheld the rain, and on the 7-day journey, they ran out of water. They didn't have any water for the people. They didn't have any water for their animals. And along about the 3rd or 4th day, they got worried. I want to tell you tonight, again, this is not part of my sermon. I'll throw some stuff in for free tonight. I don't care how good the plans of man are. If God doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. And don't ever think that we have become so powerful that we can impose our will over God's will. God is going to have his way because he is God. If he doesn't want it to rain, it's not going to rain. If he wants it to rain a lot, it's going to rain a lot. He promised he'll never destroy the world with a flood again. But if he wants it to rain a lot, it will rain a lot. And so I don't care how wise we think we are. I don't think how powerful we think we are. I don't care how strong and how much we think that we can get by without God. But if we don't depend on God, we're not going to make it. Don't care what you set out to do. If you don't depend on him, you're not going to make it. So, these three kings, they're 3 or 4 days into this 7-day journey. There's no water for the men. There's no water for the animals. And there was a preacher nearby, a man by the name of Elisha. Elisha. In fact, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the good king, and he was for the most part, except hooking up with he hooked up with Ahab one time, and now he's hooking up with Ahab's son. Other than that, he was a pretty good king. He asked the question, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? You see, the king of Israel, they worshipped all these false gods. These false gods could not give they could not give the answers. Jehoshaphat knew what it was to worship a true God, the God. And he said, let's find a prophet of God and ask him what we should do. And one of the servants of Israel, one of the servants of the king of Israel said, hey, there is a prophet of God nearby. His name is Elisha. He's the one that served Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, hey, I know Elisha. He said, the word of the Lord is with him. The word of the Lord is with him. That ought to be true of every prophet and every preacher. The word of the Lord ought to be with him. I hope you never go to a church. I hope you never have a preacher that does something other than preach the word of God. You need preaching from this book. You do not need current events. You do not need history lessons. You do not need what the world thinks that we need. What we need is the word of the Lord. And a preacher that's not giving you the word of the Lord is not much of a preacher. So he said, I know him. The word of the Lord is with him. And so these three kings went to see Elisha. Elisha comes out to meet him. He says, hey, what are you guys doing here? Why don't you go to the prophets of your fathers and the prophets of your mothers? He was talking to Ahab's son. He said, hey, you worship Baal. Go get a prophet of Baal. Ask him what you should do. Why are you coming to me? And he said, if it wasn't for the fact that Jehoshaphat is here, the king of Judah, you wouldn't be looking at me and I wouldn't be looking at you. I wouldn't even see you. I wouldn't even let you in the door. For one, for Jehoshaphat. You know, you worship Baal. Don't come to me and ask for advice. Go see one of your own prophets. And one of the kings says, oh no, we need your help. Because it appears like the Lord has delivered us into the hands of the Moabites. It appears like he's not with us and we're going to be defeated even though we outnumber them, even though we have an army and they don't, even though we're trained to fight and they're not. It appears that the Lord is not with us. We need to hear from the Lord as to what to do. And I can just see they're expecting Elisha to give them an answer. They're kings. They expect people to, you know, respect them. And when somebody asks them, when they ask somebody for something, they expect it to be given immediately. I mean, when you were a king, you could order that, and if they didn't give it to you, you could kill them. And so here were these three kings, and they said, no, we need to hear from you. And Elisha said, well, I don't feel very good right now. Go get a minstrel to play some music. I just think about that. So these three kings, I'm sure they got upset. I'm sure they got mad, and they said, well, okay, if that's what it takes. So they went out and found a minstrel, somebody to play some music. This minstrel come in and play some music, and the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Elisha, and he said, make this valley full of ditches. Now, I'm sure if you were one of these kings, as I've thought about this story, I would have looked at Elijah and said, what? We came looking for water. I mean, we need water. What do you mean, make this valley full of ditches? Are you going to help us or not? You want us to start, why should we dig ditches? There's nothing to put in it. And Elisha said, no, you're not going to see the rain. You're not going to hear the wind. But tomorrow, God is going to fill up these ditches with water. And that's just a light thing for him to do, because he's going to deliver the Moabites into your hand. You're going to defeat this enemy that you've come to defeat. But before you do that, you got to take a step of faith. You got to be obedient to what God says, and you got to dig some ditches so that God has a place to put the water. And so I can see these three kings going back to their armies and said, okay, guys, put down your swords, put down your spears, get your shovels out. We got to dig some ditches. Well, how many are we going to dig? We're going to fill this valley full of ditches. And I can just hear the grumbling with the soldiers. Well, I mean, we're out of water. Why are we digging ditches? Do they think we're going to find water as we dig ditches? What's the deal? And the Bible says they dug the ditches. They filled the valley with ditches. And the next morning, the Lord sent water. The Bible doesn't tell us where it came from. But the ditches were full of water. And in the morning, when the sun came up, the sun reflected off that water. And as the Moabites were coming to them, it looked red. And the Moabites said, hey, these three kings have gotten to a fight. They killed each other. And the valley is flowing with their blood. They'll be easy pickings. Let's just go in and finish off the job. And they went in expecting not a fight at all. And of course, Israel and Judah and Edom rose up and won a great victory, as Elisha had said that they would. And the Bible says they beat down the city, stopped all the wells, cast stones on all the good pieces of land, and cut down all the trees. So an interesting story, wonderful story about how God works. Now here's the application. God works the same way today. So I have 3 points I want to make. Number one, to prepare for the blessings of God, we need to dig some ditches. To prepare for God to bless us, we need to make this valley full of ditches. One of the reasons that we miss out on some of the blessings of God is we don't dig any ditches. One of the reasons we miss out on the blessings of God is that we do not prepare for them. I mean, if we were back in that day and used the faith that most of us have today, we would say to God, well, make it start raining, and then we'll start digging the ditches. Because until we see that you're going to send water, why would we dig any ditches? Back in the old days in Egypt, the people knew that the Nile River would rise at a certain time every year. And they would prepare for it. They would dig channels and they would make pools at the end of those channels so they could collect the water as the Nile River rose, so that in the heat of the summer when they needed to water their crops, they would have water to irrigate them. You that are farmers or have been around farmers, what do farmers do as harvest season approaches? They clean out the barns. They clean out the silos. They are getting ready for the increase that God is going to give them. They are preparing for a place that put it. When a cargo vessel comes into port, what do they do on the docks? They clean off the docks. They get ready because they know something's coming that they need to be prepared for, and so they make room for it. And that's what God has said to those folks, to those three kings back then through his prophet Elisha. That's what God says to us today. Hey, I have tons of blessings that I want to send you. I want to bless you in ways that you can't even think about, but you've got to get ready. You've got to dig some ditches so that when I send the blessings, you have a place to put them. God says, you want me to answer your prayers? Then pray. Call unto me. Ask me. Make that preparation. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I remember they were having a drought out west, and the pastor of the town, the preacher of the town said, you know, we need to have a prayer meeting. We need for God to send rain, or all our crops are going to die. And so all the townspeople and all the farmers gathered at the church house, and the preacher looked out and he asked a question. How many of you brought your umbrellas? Not one person raised their hand. And he said, are you expecting rain or not? He said, no use for us to pray until you go home and get your umbrellas. Because if you don't prepare, God's not going to answer our prayers. And so many times we ask God for things, but we don't make preparations for it. And in not making preparations, we're telling God, I don't think you're going to do it. God's looking for people that will dig the ditches and have faith in him before the answer comes. And God says, hey, I recognize that faith, and I recognize the preparation, and I'm going to fill all those ditches with water. He still works the same way today. He says, meditate in my book, follow its instructions. I'll make your way prosperous, and I'll make you a good success. And whatsoever you prepare for, I will give you. And yet, we don't spend much time in that book. He says, you spend time in this book and meditate on it. I'll give you good success. I'll make every one of your ways prosperous. And yet we don't prepare. Why? Do we not believe God? Do we not believe he's able? I heard your testimonies tonight. I think most of us believe that God is able. We need to go out and make the valley full of ditches. We need to prepare for the blessings that he wants to send. He says, hey, come to my house. I'll instruct you. I'll encourage you. I'll exhort you. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. And I know that we had a lot more this morning than we did tonight. They're missing something tonight. God uses every service for something. Every time I come here, I hope every time you come here, you come with the expectation that God is going to do something for me tonight. If we don't come with the expectation, if we don't come with the faith, it's probably not. I mean, if we come and say, well, it's just another service, I better go, somebody might miss me and not think very highly of me if I miss the service tonight, but just, I mean, we're just going to go, the preacher's going to scream for about 30 minutes, so I'll go home and everything will be over. Well, you're getting the screaming. But if we came with the expectation, I'm going into God's house. I'm going to hear from God, from a man of God who stays in the Word of God. I want to hear from God, and he's going to do something in my life and make a change in my life. Encourage me, rebuke me, do something in my life. I'm going to hear from the Creator of the universe tonight. And if we come with that expectation, having dug that ditch, he'll do it. He says, go bearing precious seed, and then come rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. You know why we don't have many sheaves? Because we don't go. He says, if you go, if you'll make the preparation, I'll give you the increase. Look, when we go to, I know some people say, well, I just don't know how to tell people about Jesus. I don't know how to tell them to get saved. Are you saved? If you're saved, you know how to tell them to get saved. Because if you can't tell them how to get saved, you need to look and figure out how you got saved. Because if you don't know how you got saved, you're probably not saved. Amen? This is deep preaching, isn't it, Brother Terrell? Now look, every single person, if you're saved, you ought to know how you got saved. You were a sinner headed for hell. Jesus died on Calvary for you, and he offers salvation to every person. And one day you ask him to save you, and he did. You ought to know how to tell somebody to do the same thing. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't receive. I had a lady that talked to me after the sermon this morning. She said, preacher, I disagree with one of the things you said this morning. I said, what's that? She said, that gas tank, we just don't want it full. We want it overflowing. I said, well, that sort of didn't fit with my analogy.
I said, not many people overfill their gas tank to overflowing. She said, well, my husband does. I said, too much information. I don't want to know anything else. But God does it. He wants to bless us. He wants us, as we were talking about the pumps of joy this morning, he wants us to pull up to the pumps and fill them up. He loves a cheerful giver. And if we want the blessings of God, we can't be stingy with the things that belong to God. One more. And I got to move in a hurry. God says, you want friends? Then be friendly. Be friendly. Be friendly. We need to make that preparation for what God wants to bless us with. So we need to dig some ditches to prepare for the blessings of God. Number two, we need to dig a lot of big ditches. A lot of big ditches. Elisha said, make this valley full of ditches. Not just one, not just two. I want you to go into the valley, and I want you to use every square inch, and I want you to make it full of ditches. You know the reason why we miss some of the blessings that God has for us? Because we dig little bitty ditches. God can fill that up. Sure he can. He's God. I want to tell you something. God can fill a ditch up like this. He can fill a ditch that goes from this wall to this wall. He can fill a ditch that goes from the east side of our property to the west side of our property. If the whole world were a ditch, we have a God that could fill it up if he so chooses. And the reason we are missing some of the blessings of God is that we dig little ditches. And God says, make this valley full of ditches, and I will bless you in ways that you cannot understand, you cannot conceive, you cannot imagine. I have blessings ready to pour out on you, but I'm looking for some group of people to dig a ditch and make it a big ditch so I can be God. I remember when Jesus was on the boat with Peter that day, and he said, hey, yeah, he used Peter's boat as a pulpit, and he said, Peter, let's pull out and go fishing. And Peter said, we fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus said, well, let down your nets. Let down your net. Peter said, this guy don't know nothing about fishing. He's a preacher. What do preachers know about fishing? And so the Bible says, he said, well, I don't believe anything's going to happen, but at your word. At your word. Hey, by the way, that's what faith is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. When God tells you to do something, if you don't understand it, if you can't figure it out, if you can't explain it, just go ahead and do it anyway. And Peter said, at your word, I'll throw it out in the net. You remember the story? He started to pull that net up. There was so many fish in that net. He had to call his partner, James and John, and get their boat to come out. And they began to put those fish in both boats, and both boats began to sink. I've never been on a fishing trip like that. Both boats began to sink. And this preacher, who Peter thought didn't know nothing about fishing, knew a whole lot more about fishing than he did, because he was the creator of all the fish. And I can just see Jesus, hey, all you fishies, come over here and get in this net. I got a fisherman I'm going to call to be a disciple, and he needs to know that I'm God. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 about a widow lady that owed some money. She came to Elisha and said, they're going to take my two sons. They're going to sell them for slaves. I got this debt I can't pay. And Elisha said, what do you got in the house? She said, I don't have anything in the house except a little pot of oil. And here's what he told her to do. Go out to all your neighbors and all your friends and borrow all the empty pots that they got. Get as many as you can. Why? Because I want you to take all those empty pots into your house with your two sons. I want you to close the door, and then I want you to take that little pot of oil and fill up all those pots. Not in the Bible, but I can imagine the conversation. Wait a minute. I've only got a little pot of oil. How can I fill up all those empty pots with that little pot of oil? Do you trust God or not? Are you going to dig a ditch or not? Are you going to be obedient or not? The Bible says she went out and borrowed empty vessels. I don't know how many, it doesn't say how many. She brought them into the house with her two sons. She took that little pot of oil that she had and began to pour them in that, in those pots. And something amazing happened. She filled up every one that she borrowed. Every one that she borrowed. The Bible says when she got to the last pot, and she, her, they must have had a little production line going, because she said to one of her sons, "Give me another pot, give me another pot, this one's full." And her son says, "That's it, Mom, they're all full." The Bible says the oil stayed. It quit. It didn't run anymore. It ran and filled up every pot that she borrowed. It ran to fill up every ditch that she dug. That's the kind of God that we have. If she would have borrowed 3 million pots, he would have filled up every single one of them. He works the same way today. We have averaged 206 in the month of April. If you would have asked me 4 months ago, "Preacher, do you think we'll ever average over 200? I would have probably said, "Probably not. Never have before. Why would you think we'd average 200? And the Lord's been speaking to me and saying, "Oh, ye of little faith. I'm God. I can give you as many people as you prepare for. I can give you as many people as you can take care of. I mean, hey, I already got the trustees talking to me about moving the pews from the choir and adding another row in the back and adding a couple more rows in the front and putting chairs in the choir. Right, we're already talking about opening up the balcony. We're already trying to figure out how we can get 300 people in this auditorium. I've talked to Brian. I said, "Brian, one day you may have to take the juniors at the first of the service and keep them for the whole hour." He says, "Preacher, I think the Lord may be calling me to move." Just kidding. I'm just kidding. He didn't really say that. I said, "You may have to take him and take him for the whole hour." He said, "Hey, if that's what it takes. If that's what it takes to make room for adults in the auditorium, just tell me when you're ready to do it, and I'll do it." I've already told him when we started construction, he's going to have to meet in the tent because the fellowship hall. He said, "Hey, no problem. No problem." He has a vision. Should we be satisfied with 206? No. How many will God give us? How many will God give us? As many as we prepare for. We need to dig some ditches. I'll never forget, pastor stood up, and he had a little church, ran 50 or 60, and he said, "Next week, I think we got to pray and ask God to give us 100. I think if we pray and work that we could have 100 next week." And there was one little lady from Arkansas. And no offense to anybody that's from Arkansas. My mom's from Arkansas. But there was a little lady from Arkansas, and she misunderstood the preacher. She thought he said that she ought to get out and get 100 to come next week. And so she began to pray and she began to work. And next Sunday, she was responsible for having 120 people at church. Because she dug a big ditch, and God blessed her. How big's your ditch tonight? How big's your ditch? I want to remind you, we got a God that can fill your ditch however big you make it. I want to remind you tonight, as a church, we have a God that will fill our ditch as big as we make it. Number three, and I'll hurry, we need to start digging now. These soldiers needed to start digging immediately. God was going to send water the next morning. It wasn't going to be a three-month project. It wasn't going to be a year-long project. God was going to send water the next morning. And so they went out, and they began to dig. Maybe they dug all night. I don't know. I don't know how long it took them. Wouldn't surprise me if they had to dig all night to fill the valley up with ditches. But the next morning, God rewarded their faith, and every one of those ditches was filled up. And I don't believe they were halfway full. My God doesn't work that way. They were filled to the brim, and to the lady that talked to me about my message this morning, they were probably overflowing. And God not only gave them the water that they asked for, but he gave them a great victory over Moab. Now, as I finish up, let me say this. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, somebody dug a ditch for you. Long time ago, on a hill called Calvary, somebody went to a cross, and he took every one of your sins, and he paid the price. He dug a ditch for you. And tonight, God wants to fill in that ditch. Every single person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, God wants to honor the one that dug that ditch on Calvary and fill it. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you're a sinner, headed to an eternal separation from God. And Jesus Christ prepared and did everything that was possible for you to get saved. All you got to do tonight is come and get it. Come and take it. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Tonight, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church, although I think both of those things are pretty good things. I'm asking you to become part of the family of God. And the only way you do that is by coming through Jesus Christ. Would you do that tonight? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful truths that are in it. And I pray tonight we would grab hold of these truths and we'd dig some ditches. We'd show you by our faith and by our actions. Faith without works is dead. We'd show you that we not only believe, but we believe enough that we'll go out and do some work and dig a ditch and believe that you're able to fill it. And so I pray that you'd help us do that. I pray for those that might be here tonight that's who have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, help them to see that he's the only hope that they have. Heaven cannot be obtained by good works. It cannot be obtained by church membership. Can't be obtained by baptism. Can't be obtained by anything that we can do. It can only be obtained by coming to Jesus. And so I pray if there's folks here tonight that don't know him as their Savior, they would come and receive him. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.